Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Wow, I'm so glad that you are here with me on today, and I know without a shadow of doubt that you're going to be tremendously blessed on today. So I want you to grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. Our lesson on today is going to be about the resurrection. What a beautiful time and how befitting it is for us to talk about such a beautiful, beautiful work on the cross of Calvary and what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. We recognize that it is really God incarnated in his son, reconciling the world back unto him, as well as paying the ultimate price for our salvation. Let's take a look at our lesson on today. I want you to look at, we're going to be looking at Job chapter number 14 through verses 13 through 15. Then we're going to look at Job also, chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. And then 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 51 to 57. And so as we get ready to look at the word of the Lord, let us pray. Father, we take authority right now and we bind the devil right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. And we declare and decree your sovereign will be done over this airway on today for every one of our listeners that would listen to it now and even for later to come, that you will bless them. Let the word be deposited in their spirit. Let revelation come. Let a rhema word, Lord, and strength be exacted from these words that will be spoken on today on this particular lesson. And Father, we thank you because you are the righteous Savior and the holy will of God. Let it be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, today our lesson, our wonderful lesson is the resurrection. And we're going to talk about the resurrection of the dead is the great hope of all ages, and it is a living reality through Jesus Christ. Now, our key verse will come from Job chapter 19, verse 26, and I'll just read that in your hearing. It says, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Now, let's take a look at the rest of the scriptures that are key for today's lesson. That's Job chapter 14, verses 13 through 15. And it reads on this wise, O thou that wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hand. Job 19, verses 25 to 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57. It said, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on incorruptible, then shall be brought to pass that the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So far, the reading of his scripture. Now, the resurrection is a familiar word in the Christian vocabulary. Often we readily associate it with the story of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ following his death and burial. This is appropriate in light of the centrality of the message of his victory over death, hell, and the grave. Now, when we look at that, we often think of just over death, but we got to think in terms of his victory over hell and his victory even as well over the grave. So victory over death, hell, and the grave. Now, however, the complete conception of the resurrection is much broader than this single event, for it has application as well as implication to almost every facet of a child of God's life. Indeed, the resurrection of the dead is the great hope of all ages. Moreover, it can become a living reality in the life of every believer through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our lesson today, we will explore many of the important aspects of the resurrection, as well as its power in the individual life and things that they experience the resurrection power in your life. Now, let's take a look on today at the hope of the Old Testament faith. And when we study the lives of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament, we generally observe their obvious faith in life after death. Now, Job's hope. Some scholars believe that perhaps the oldest writing found in the scripture is the book of Job. Now, as Job served for God in the time of tribulation, he made clear references to a resurrection. His faith in another life yet to come enabled Job to proclaim, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, Job 13:15. He expressed his faith in the resurrection meeting with the Lord. Now, Job 19:25-27, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin were destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reign be consumed within me. Now let's look at Abraham as well. Now Abraham journeyed on earth by faith, was marked by an unwavering vision of another life. His offering up of Isaac was an undeniable testimony that God was able to resurrect his only son. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him up, Hebrews 11:17-19. The writer of the book of Hebrews describes Abraham's walk of faith as not knowing whither he went, Hebrews 11:8. Abraham looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God, that's Hebrews 11:10. Now, hope expressed in the Psalms. The psalmist David, as well as other psalmists, continually voiced faith in the resurrected life. In a prophetic utterance, David wrote, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, Psalm 16:10. This was a messianic prophecy relative to the suffering servant who will come and die for the sins of the people and envision the resurrection which Jesus Christ will fulfill. Now another psalmist wrote, like sheep they are led in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the powers of the grave, for he shall receive me, Psalm 41:14-15. Now let's look at another aspect here, is the hope expressed by the prophet. Now, The continual voice of the prophets repeatedly and repeated over and over the heart of faith in the living God that promised victory to God's people. Now, Isaiah lifted up the prophetic voice of encouragement to the people who appeared to be doomed and who suffered under the hand of their adversary. Isaiah wrote of life beyond death. Thy dead man shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, yea, that dwelleth in dust. For by thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Isaiah 26:19. Daniel also wrote clearly of a great resurrection over in Daniel 12:1-2. And at the time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall found written in the book, and many of them that shall sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame, and some to everlasting contempt. Now, moreover, Daniel concluded his great book of prophecy with a personal assurance from the Lord. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel 12:13. Now, Christ, the first fruit. Now, Christ's teaching of the resurrection was, the New Testament boldly proclaims, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep, 1 Corinthians 15:20. Christ not only experienced resurrection in his bodily form, but he spoke often of the resurrection of the body throughout his earthly ministry. The Sadducees were a Jewish sect that claimed that there was no resurrection, trapped Jesus with their doctrinal reasoning. One day they posed a question to him that they had concocted from their own perversion of the Jewish law. Now, Matthew 22:25-28 reads, now there was with us 7 brethren, the first, when he had married a wife, deceased and having no issue. Left his wife unto his brother, likewise the second also to the third, and unto the seventh. And the last of all the women died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the 7? For they shall all had her. Now Jesus pointed to their era and told them that they did not understand the scripture or the power of God. Matthew 22:29. He went on to explain in the resurrection they neither marry nor given in marriage, but are as the angel of God in heaven, Matthew 22:30. He further reminded them that God has stated in Scripture, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, Matthew 22. And he affirmed that God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Let's look at another aspect. Christ prophesied and prophesied his resurrection. Now, Jesus taught the Sadducees that since God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had all lived and died, and since he was still their God, and since he is the God of the living, then obviously their death is only a temporary state. Now, moreover, he used this same statement to testify of the reality of the resurrected life that had come to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. More importantly, Jesus declared himself to be the living God as he spoke to Mary and Martha before he raised their brother, Lazarus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's over in John 11:25. Now, in fact, when Jesus used the present tense verb of being I am, he was boldly claiming and continuing power of life over death. In a sense, he also spoke prophetically of his own bodily resurrection in the future. The Lord wanted his followers to know that there is life after death. He wanted them to also to be able to believe in his resurrection after he was departed from them physically. For example, Jesus once boldly declared, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, John 2:19. The writer John added, He's faith of the temple of his body, John 2:21. Twice Jesus told his disciples of imminent events in order to ensure that they would believe. One was that they would journey to the place where he would raise Lazarus from the dead. The other was, as he prepared them for his coming death, burial, and resurrection, and the promise of the Comforter who will come. Over in John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Also John 14:29, now I have told you before, and it came to pass that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Now let's look at Christ demonstrates the resurrection. Now Jesus made the doctrine of the resurrection an inherent part of his earthly ministry ever. He not only taught of the resurrection and prophesied of his resurrection, he was careful to demonstrate the power of the resurrection life on a number of occasions. In a mighty demonstration of the resurrection power, he raised Lazarus. Moreover, he put the unbeliever aside and raised Jairus' daughter. Luke 8:41-56. He also gave the widow a man, her son, back to life. You'll see that over in Luke 7:11-15. Finally, the time came when Jesus amplified the resurrected life through his own actual physical death on the cross and the victory of his own resurrection. It is interesting to note that when Jesus resurrected from the dead, many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection. You'll see over in Matthew 27:52-53. Thus, the Apostle Paul wrote, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep? 1 Corinthians 15:20. Now, the hope of immortality, let's look at this spiritual change. In Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, he spoke of a change that takes place when one is resurrected. Jesus once stated, except the corn or wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it dies, it bringeth wealth, in verse 24. Jesus obviously spoke these words to the point of his own resurrection. However, he also spoke of the changing life that takes place through the infilling of his spirit. As an individual becomes willing to die to his own selfish will and desired life, he too fulfilled the verses of Scripture with a fruitful life in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus even promised that such a one will bear much fruit, an obvious reference to the reproduction of souls. In a more literal sense, however, the Apostle Paul used similar terms in describing the change that it affects when a person has actually resurrected to eternal life with the Lord. He wrote, that which thou sowest is not quickened, made alive, except it die, 1 Corinthians 15:36. In still more detail, he declared that when this promised body resurrection occurs, God will also give us a new body. He promised that it will be changed. Although this body is sown in corruption, in Christ it will be raised in incorruption. Though sown in dishonor, it will be raised in glory. Though sown in weakness, it will be raised in power. Though it was sown even a natural body, it will be raised a spiritual body. The mortal individual will put on immortality. And you'll see that over in 1 Corinthians 15:42-54. Now let's look at this glorious hope that was left for us. Now, whatever death may bring in the way of suffering, sorrow, and seemingly loss, resurrection promise to more than compensate the child of God. Now, he will receive a new body that will be spiritual, glorious, and incorruptible, powerful, and finally, immortal. There is a great change coming for all the children of God. It will come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:52. And when we see Jesus, the scripture assured us that we shall be like him. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, the life which a person will receive when the resurrection will be in mortal life, for resurrected life is eternal life. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he was saying he was the eternal life. When he sent his spirit to believers in the new birth, he offered eternal life. While it is true that Christians will still face death, as all people must, Hebrews 9:27, yet through the Holy Ghost, their eternal life and relationship with God has already begun. Now, the resurrection is the victory of the Spirit of God over the flesh. Now, he has promised that when we follow after the Spirit, he will quicken, he will make alive our mortal bodies by his Spirit, that this is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. See Romans 8:1-11. It is the Holy Spirit in us that will change and translate us at the time of the rapture of the church. It is the internal Spirit of the living God which reside within us. Thus, our glorious hope is in that death is swallowed up in victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As the scripture said over in 1 Corinthians 15:54-57, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's take a look at this resurrection power. And seeing the resurrection is the victory of the Spirit of God over the flesh. Now that is key, children of God, that we must continually to follow after the Spirit and allowing ourselves to walk after the Spirit. He has promised that when we follow after the Spirit, he will quicken us and make alive our mortal body by his Spirit. And that is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If you're not seeing the power of God really working in your life, and even after you receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, it's because you may need to add another element of getting up every day with a conscious decision of following after the Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to have power, rest, rule, and abide within you, and that it can move and have its being in your life. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. It will come to you, but if we keep rejecting it, ignoring it, it's just like a dove. It will soon just be dormant in our spirit, and then it will not really activate or move or pump us or unctionize us to do the things that we need to do or give us the power over the sin and over the things that come to tempt us. We got to allow the Holy Ghost to work in our lives, amen, by constantly confessing and saying, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Holy Spirit, take control. Holy Spirit, Lord, move in and through and out my being. You got to give it permission to have his way in your life. If you want to see the fruit that God can solely produce in your life as you yield to the Spirit of the Lord God, which dwelleth within you. Now, let's look further. The church called to be a witness and the bearing witness of the resurrection. Jesus made it absolutely clear that he was empowering the church to bear witness unto him. Just before his ascension, he stated to the disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, Acts 1:8. A few days later, as the disciple and the rest of the 120 met in the upper room to tarry for the promised outpouring of the Holy Ghost, they took time to select a replacement for Judas and the betrayer and to bring a total number of the disciples back to 12. In stating the qualification of the selection, Peter carefully noted that the person would have to have someone who had been with them from the beginning and that would be ordained to be a witness of the resurrection of Christ. Let's look over at Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. It states, "Wherefore are these men which have accompanied us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us? Must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection?" Now, the early apostles, they were not only empowered to be Christ's witness, but specifically they were to be witnesses of his resurrection. This became even clearer as these early apostles ministered the gospel. As they ministered, they encountered opposition from the Jewish religious leaders, as well as the sects of the that opposed the concept of the resurrection. And they said that they spoke unto the people, the priests, and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached to Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. Acts 4, verses 1 and 2. Now, when the accuser finally released the apostle and threatened them about preaching in the name of Jesus, they went to an apostolic prayer meeting where the Lord moved in such a powerful way, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost with boldness. The result of this experience was that with great power and great apostle, with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Acts 4 and 33. Indeed, the apostle continued to bear witness of the resurrection of Jesus. The apostle Paul testified repeatedly to the first chief captain, then to Felix, the governor, and finally to Agrippa, that he was called before them and accused because of the preaching, the resurrection of the dead through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look at that. Acts 23 and 6. "Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called into question." Acts chapter 24 and 21. "Touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question by you this day." Acts 26 and 8. "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Now, the central focus of the witness of the early church was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was because more than any other single truth, his resurrection identifies who Jesus Christ really is, the manifestation of the eternal living God. Now, let's look at knowing the resurrection power. Since the church is called and empowered to bear witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is incumbent upon the Christian to understand that this witness can only be effected through a personal knowledge of the Lord and his resurrection power. This comes only through being immersed in the Holy Spirit of God and separated from the things of the world. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi of his determination that he might have this knowledge of resurrection and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 11, it reads on this line. It said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." So here, moreover, Paul likened gaining this knowledge to experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. In his letter to the Roman church, Paul compared water baptism to the burial following death, repentance. He also compared the newness of life that comes in the Holy Ghost baptism to the resurrection of Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord was an experiential picturing of the new birth experience that includes repentance, water baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is clearly the Bible plan of salvation. Acts 2 and verse 38. Let us look further in Romans 6, verses 4 through 7. Therefore, we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ. Now, look at that. When you get baptized in Jesus' name, that old nature, that old man is become crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Oh, child of God, that's so profound. That's so profound, but it's a reality, and it still yet can happen today in the life of God's people. Let's look for that as we close out. Only one can readily understand the Holy Ghost is essential to the living of a life as an effective witness for Christ. Indeed, it is the power to do so. Interestingly, the word for witness, as Jesus used it, is speaking of the coming of the Holy Ghost baptism, derived from the same root word for the word martyr. Jesus taught that the Holy Ghost was going to enable the child of God to live an overcoming life before others. Our lives are daily sacrifice of the carnal nature. As Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about the resurrection of the dead, he noted that his own walk with God, he experienced a continual dying to self and saying, I die daily, 1 Corinthians 31. Now, knowing eternal life, the reason all this is possible is through the Holy Ghost is that the resurrected life and power brings to the believer eternal life spiritually. Just as Jesus assured Mary and Martha about the eternal things before raising their brother Lazarus from the dead, he also declared that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He boldly told the Jews that he lived before the days of Abraham. He claimed complete identification as the eternal living God. In making this bold claim, he declared that life is in him and in him is eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 11, verse 25 and 26. The Apostle Paul confirmed that the spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead is the same spirit that comes to dwell in the believer. But it's the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwelleth in you, Romans 8 and verse 11. Now, knowing the grace of God, with great clarity, the Bible reveals that the resurrection power is the eternal spirit of the living God, and that the baptism with the Holy Ghost introduces us to this new undying life. It is the experience of a new birth. It's ultimately amplified by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. This wonderful experience is given summarily in the scripture in Acts 2:38. Now, this experience is attainable and maintainable only through faith, submission, and obedience, and the grace of God. Salvation is only by the unmerited favor of God. His grace is never can be earned, deserved, or purchased through human works. However, grace is not forced upon any person. He must respond to God through faith and submission and obedience to experience the new birth. Moreover, he must live according to these in his Christian walk in vain his new birth experience to bear witness unto Jesus Christ. In particular, this means that in every life situation, there is an opportunity to express faith by dying to our own self, will, and desire. We need to continue in our relationship of faith and obedience unwaveringly until we are finally resurrected to the fullness of life eternally. Now, knowing him continually in his grace is appropriate victory for any situation and will bring spiritual growth and preparation for the next circumstances of life. The ultimate manifestation of God's grace to us will be at the time of our bodily resurrection. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So in my conclusion, there is a principle to follow in becoming like Christ. In effect, we see him with eyes of faith in his word. As we behold him, we become like him, so that the scriptures declare that one day we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, 1 John 3:2. Similarly, in the final resurrection, when we are caught up to meet Christ, we will be changed. The Apostle Paul wrote, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, before the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. This great event will be the final act of God's grace in response to a life lived by faith in the resurrection, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, child of God, I tell you, the scripture, the gospel is simply the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I come to tell you, to encourage you, to continue to yield to that power that's working within you, and let that power, that Holy Ghost power, that dunamis power, continue to rest, rule, and abide in henceforth and forevermore in and through your life, while you gain the total victory of the resurrection, is really the victory of God's Spirit over the flesh. Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. As we yield, O God, each and every day unto you and to your Spirit, that you can have, we can walk victoriously in you, because your Spirit is ruling over our flesh. And Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you bless every hearer, and let this revelation word, Lord, sit down in their heart and mind as they embrace the Holy Spirit and give the Holy Spirit charge over their lives. And Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, child of God, it's been a blessing to be with you on today. In my conclusion, I want to share something real quickly while I can. I was preaching on a couple of weeks ago, and God gave me a word and to the people at a prayer meeting, and it was over from Luke 6:38, and I'm thinking in my mind, Lord, how can we speak a word from there when we talk about prayer? And he made it very simple and clear to me as we were ministering to the people of God. He said, you must give yourself over to prayer. You cannot just pray, but you got to give yourself to prayer. You got to give yourself to fasting. You just can't fast, but you got to give yourself to it. And such as it is, and this lesson I can see clearly, you cannot no longer just have the Holy Spirit, but you must give yourself over to the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit be in your life. And that's where the victory lies, children of God. As we yield over to the Spirit of the Lord, you'll see the great manifestation of the power of God, rest, ruling, and abiding, henceforth and forevermore in and through your life. And so as I get ready to close on today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Why wait any longer for your miracle? All you need to do is ask. May the blessings of the Lord be with you until we meet again, and invite someone to come and meet us at home. Give them the phone number. Give them the website so that they can come and listen at any time throughout the day or night. They can come back and archive any of these lessons all the way back until 2007. And so there's plenty of food for the people of God. May God bless you, and bye-bye.